What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wednesday Night Wars here as part of Suplex Retweet Extra. My name is David Hockney, and joining me today, fresh from the discussion last week, he's back again this week, and I can only describe this man as conjunctivitis.co.uk. It's a sight for sore eyes. He is Kwaku Ajay. Kwaku, how are you?
How dare you, David Hockney?
What?
I've come on here to help you. And you're calling me Pink Eye?
No, I'm calling you a sight for sore eyes.
Oh, right. I thought you were calling me conjunctivitis is Pink Eye.
Yeah, did you know? The joke's just gone over your head there. Anyway, how are you?
You basically called me Pink Eye.
No, I didn't. You...
Yes.
Oh, anyway.
Thank you.
It sounded way better in my head, but you know what? How are you?
Not bad yourself.
I'm good, thanks. You ready for another discussion on AEW and NXT?
Yeah, if you were complimenting me, thank you very much. But I thought you were calling me Pink Eye there.
All right, for everyone listening in, mate, you can comment on our Twitter feed at Suplex Retweet if I was giving Kwaku a compliment there. Don't forget to check our other social media channels. We're on Facebook and Instagram, all at Suplex Retweet. Be sure to join our community page as well, where you can get involved with all the discussion. And don't forget to check out our website as well, suplexretweet.com, for all our reviews, articles, and everything else in between. And you can also catch our main weekly show, Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet, on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, and all good Android podcasting sites. So, AEW Dynamite has now officially turned one... Well, AEW itself is now officially 1 year old. And this Dynamite was advertised as the anniversary show this week.
Yes.
Although, even though Dynamite's only been on 3 months, they're already having an anniversary show. So, a bit of a mixed message, but I see what they were trying to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you can basically have so many celebrations. It's what you do in marketing to basically ramp up hype. So, fair play to them. Mm-hmm. Because don't forget, we have done a 1 year anniversary show ourselves looking back at AEW. So, fair play to them.
Yeah, check that out on our main channel, Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. But this is Suplex Retweet Extra, where you're listening to all our great bonus content. So, Kwaku, we're going to go into the same routine as we did last week. And it's also our new approach of analyzing the Wednesday Night Wars as part of the new decade. I need you to give me 3 moments from this week's AEW Dynamite, which we're calling the Undeniable Rankings List. And I want you to start off with your number 3 ranked spot. So what you got for us?
Okay, so 3 ranked. I've got Omega and Hangman Page versus Private Party. Solid match. It had a bit of a slow, shaky start at the start, though. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. It did seem like people just didn't have the chemistry going forward, but then it picked up nicely. There's also a weird thing going on. I don't know if they're building as a storyline, but there's a weird thing with Adam Page where, like, last week they were calling him down, but he just stayed up in the bar, and there was a bit of confusion when he was going for the buckshot, I think it's called, the big move at the end.
The buckshot lariat, yeah.
Yeah, and it almost hit Kenny Omega, but he stopped at the last minute, but he still got pushed into him. And it looked like there was a little bit of deception when he didn't tag at the time Kenny Omega was requesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is an actual story they're building, or if it's just something weird they're going with. I have no idea. But intrigued.
You're intrigued, yeah. But you know what? I actually had this as my number one ranked moment. Pretty much for all the reasons you pretty much said, because there's definitely a program there going on with Adam Page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there seems to be a bit of a mixed bag going on with how of his booking, but I think there is potential there to really sort of capture lightning in a bottle with, you know, where he's going. Mm-hmm. And his tag team with Kenny Omega, it reminds me of the old, like, really two guys who are sort of uncomfortable with tagging with each other, but yet they're still getting the win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been advertised as part of a Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match now.
Mm-hmm.
So the tag team division in AEW itself is actually picking up a lot of steam. But mm-hmm. I do think it's missing that it factor, something that is just something that's holding it back. But
I think the tag division is actually the strongest thing it's got at the moment. Yeah, by far and away, because there's so many teams there that could rightfully be a tag champ.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't think they may be a tag champ, there's just something about them that you really like. Or you really don't like, as in terms of a heel stable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the tag division is the strongest. It's their trump card, in my opinion.
And speaking of, you know, electrifying tag teams, Private Party, always good to see them in action.
Yep. I just love how they weigh in at 24 ounces of vodka cranberry. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Although you're more of a Bacardi and pineapple man, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Well remembered.
from that
2 time you got me around.
Yeah, you never let me forget it as well. And that was my birthday night out as well.
I know. But I didn't ask for it.
No, well, you were providing a good service, so I thought it was only fair.
You may want to add DJ service, because just saying I was providing a good service doesn't sound kosher.
Yeah, just to clarify, it was a DJ service.
Yeah. Not swapping the B for the D, mm-hmm. but anyway, yeah. Move on.
Yeah, I don't believe Private Party are in this number one contender's Fatal 4-Way next week either. Do you think that's a bit of a surprise?
Yes and no, but yeah, because they had their big recent moment when they kind of got far in the tournament and stuff, obviously beating the Young Bucks, who were the clear favourites at the time to win the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they will have something planned for them for the future. I think this is just another stepping stone, because you can't have a team everywhere and anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
People have got to have their spots, people have got to move on. And hopefully I would like to see them in some form of rivalry going forward.
Yep.
Rather than just some eliminator for tag team belts, because sometimes it's not all about that.
Mm-hmm. And then there was that promo at the end where Pac attacks Michael Nakazawa, and he's demanding mm-hmm. a rubber match with Kenny Omega. So that mm-hmm. again, that's another potential direction for Kenny Omega's booking. You know, he's partnering with Hangman Page, but now he could potentially have another match with Pac.
I liked at the end when Adam Page said, go and help him.
Mm-hmm.
And all Adam Page did was go into the crowd and drink beer, so it's all good.
Definitely following like a typical Glaswegian, you know, does his bit and then goes off for a pint.
Yeah, well, he got at least four, including someone holding a sign saying, Hangman, please drink my beer. So, yeah.
I suppose that's one way of engaging with the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, my number three undeniable ranking is going to the Rhodes Brothers versus the Lucha Bros.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you make of this match?
Yes, I think it was a solid match as per usual. I didn't have it in my top three because I just think that other things preceded it, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yep.
But yeah, good solid match, but again, it did suffer a bit of a shaky, slower start. It took a while to pick up, but when it picked up, it was good.
Mm.
I don't know if it was definitely the slowest I've seen the Lucha Brothers operate.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe there was an element of the Rhodes Brothers controlling the pace, but it was quite weird to see the Lucha Brothers at a slower pace.
Yeah, I mean, can I just say as well, it's really great to see Dustin finally getting a bit of spotlight on him, despite the way he was treated in WWE. Because, you know, even at his age, you know, he's a certified Hall of Famer, and he can still go like that in the ring. I mean, mm-hmm. fair play to him. He's just consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's pulling out moves like Destroyers on Phoenix and stuff. It's pretty mad.
Yeah.
And he does that really quick power slam as well.
Dude, that power slam is just brilliant. I love it because it looks so dangerous, but yet it's so controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those power slams where you're just like, oh, you clench a bit, but you just, it's just well executed.
Mm. And obviously the Rhodes, do you think they've got good chemistry as a tag team? In...
Yeah, well, I mean, they're brothers.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
But yeah, it's a given because they both have styles that, like, they do have different styles, but however, they can bring two things to the table and they mesh together well. So yeah, mm-hmm. they're all good.
But yeah, I think you brought the good point. Maybe the Lucha Brothers, probably not, because they're usually quite fast-paced and stuff, but I think they definitely mm-hmm. looked like they were slowing down for this one.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my number three. Now, I'm just checking my notes here, and I'm pretty sure we've both picked the same thing for our number two undeniable ranking, and it is mm-hmm. the main event segment, which is the promo between Chris Jericho and John Moxley. Will he or will he not join the inner circle?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, great promo as per usual, and I didn't know that Moxley would actually join, but it was still quite funny just seeing them drinking the champagne.
Yeah,
and he still took the car keys.
Yeah, now that's a lunatic right there.
Yeah, took the car keys, and I bet you he would even know how to start the car properly, or maybe he will. But see, if he trashes that car, shame on him, because that is some machine, that one.
Well, I hope he wasn't driving that night, because he did down quite a lot of bubbly.
Yeah, he did.
I think Moxley's probably the only person who has said a little bit of the bubbly better than Chris Jericho, or he's at least on par with him. Because, I mean, we all attempted it on our weekly show this week, AEW 1 year in, and I think we just fell flat in its arse.
Quite literally.
Mm. But yeah, did you think at any point that, you know, Moxley would swerve everybody and say, yeah, I'm actually joining? But he actually saved it right until the last minute to say, nope, just kidding.
See, I just knew it because... it would require a bit more of a build-up than that if it was going to be him joining and just like, yeah, relinquish it. But I like how you knew when it was going to happen when Sammy Guevara and Jake Hager got out of the ring celebrating with the crowd. You just knew, yeah, that it's going to happen now. And he grabs a microphone and he said, you've only got one thing that I need, and that's the belt. And kind of sounded like Scott McCloud if he turned really rogue and smashed him in the head with a bottle.
Yeah, don't bother trying to offer him a car or 49% of Roscoe or whatever, because he's not going to take it.
Plus 49% of Roscoe is nothing, but anyway.
But yeah, the motivation was, you know, the motivations weren't really clear. You know, he mentioned he didn't want the car, he didn't want about 49%, he just wanted to dominate. And that was the initial reason for saying yes. But then he ends up taking the keys anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just... Would you say that was expected of Moxley?
Yeah, because that's what he does.
Well, how can you tell? Because he's a bit of a lunatic.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, if we go back to the days of Dean Ambrose when he was chasing around Seth Rollins and stuff, like, he was doing those kind of skits where... he would, like, for example, they made a deal for him to hand over the Money in the Bank briefcase. He did. It just so happens that when Seth opened it, green paint went all over him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's just those things that Moxley's known for.
Yeah, he got kabukied by the briefcase.
Well, that's one way of putting it, aye.
But yeah, it was a classic angle of, you know, will he join, will he not join? But this, I think, definitely sets up an AEW title match between Jericho and Moxley.
Yeah, Revolutions, probably.
Mm-hmm. And has that really curbed your interest in it at all?
And yeah, I mean, it just adds to it and gives that a bit more context. So instead of just having, oh, this guy's number one in the rankings and this guy's got the belt, let's just put them together. It adds something, an extra dimension. And who knows, further down the line, it also adds to our future storyline.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Just one last point as well. Do you think because they're heavily featuring a lot of ex-WWE guys in sort of the main event scene, do you think this sort of devalues AEW's claim of wanting to be the alternative promotion?
No, because at the end of the day, as long as it's not at certain points, you will need non-WWE people in at the top and fights with the top. And they did have that in the fact that Hangman Page fought for the belt initially against Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those things. If they go too much into it, then you will have the situation that TNA had, where they just had Kurt Angle continually being the champion.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're not in that danger right now. But if they're going to push somebody that's like non-WWE, they have to go for Kenny Omega next, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think have some comments floating around on Twitter as well, because AEW, as much as we want it to succeed, there mm-hmm. are that group of fans who always like to try and be critical of it, saying, oh, fans are just not picking on it because, it's not WWE, that kind of thing. But I think someone brought up a really great comment about it, and it's like, AEW's past its honeymoon period now. It's got to mm-hmm. get its finger out and start the new year off with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be important going forward. Now, I've already kind of mentioned my number one undeniable ranking with Omega and Hangman versus Private Party. But we'll come to yours in just a minute, because just want to touch on some honourable mentions that didn't quite make the cut. We had mm-hmm. the MJF promo and a returning Diamond Dallas Page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, MJF just continues to be dynamite on the mic.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I didn't pick this because there wasn't anything extra or that I've not seen, really. So that's why I didn't pick it. But yeah, always good to see Diamond Dallas Page doing the diamond cutter at the, like, cutting the diamond at the top and stuff like that. So yeah, and intrigued to see where this goes.
Definitely intrigued, but this definitely felt more like filler than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame.
It's just more adding a layer to a story, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a shame as well because, you could... Whenever MJF comes on camera, you've got some real good quality TV there. So mm-hmm. it's a shame I felt like he was a bit wasted in this. But they have announced a match for the Bash at the Beach show. They've mm-hmm. got MJF, Butcher and Blade versus DDP, Dustin, and QT Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you excited at all to see DDP get back in the ring?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I liked it. The things he's done for wrestlers outside of the ring and stuff, the guy really needs a whole, a big, commendation for what he's done with the DDPY and all that kind of stuff. So fair play to the man, and yeah, I know it'll be a great match, because to me the people that would be this kind of my star, because I was so taken aback by them, and I was butchering the Blade, because I never heard of them before I saw them in AEW, and wow, I was impressed.
Mm-hmm. And you see big things for Butcher and Blade?
Yeah, I do see them being the... I'm going to give a hot scoop. I've seen them being the first heel tag team champions.
There you go. There, that's Kwaku's prediction right there.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things we've got was Sammy Guevara versus Christopher Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on this?
I do like the layers that added to it, and you've obviously got a young, cocky Sammy Guevara going up against a seasoned vet and Christopher Daniels, who, believe it or not, is 49 years old. Incredible.
Mm.
And he's saying to him, you cannot hit a moonsault, you cannot do this. Holding his own. It required a weird distraction, though, from Pentagon.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're continuing this story on, because it seems that whole story just kind of died when SCU won the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
However, I did like how Daniel's done the proper springboard middle from the middle rope down up to the top rope moonsault, so he did it properly.
Just like
I loved it.
Just like how he did it in TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to prove he can still do it.
Oh yeah, he still can. I just don't really like how they're blending storylines together, because obviously we had the Rhodes and the Luchas going against each other, and then just randomly Pentagon shows up. And I get he has history with Christopher Daniels and all, but I think trying to blend the storylines at this stage when they're both in separate programs, it just creates a bit of confusion.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. But who knows if it leads to something, like, I don't know. I don't know if what AEW are allowed to do in terms of copywriting and stuff, but if it leads to like a War Games or like a TLC kind of match or something like that, then who knows?
Well, I'm not sure they can use the term War Games, but I see where you're coming from. Do you think this is, just one more point, do you think Sammy Guevara is being used the way people had hoped?
Yes and no, but in terms of the band, he's making his own time and using it properly. Like, see those flashcards that he does, like, they're just funny.
I mean, he knows how to wind people up and, you know, be a bit of a comic, but I don't know, I'm just not quite into him, that's all. I think he's just lacking a little bit of legitimacy, given that, you know, most of the time he just got his ass kicked in the ring.
Yeah, but that was the thing about the heel, because he came back and he still won the match and everything. Yeah, there was a distraction. However, in terms of the inner circle, he obviously has that backup, and he backs them up as well. So that's why I do quite like, because although he makes his time, and when he uses his time, he really uses it effectively. So that's why I'm quite a fan of what he does.
Okay, fair enough. And unfortunately, after the match, we had to put up, like, once again with that bloody Dark Order.
I'm not gonna lie, it's so bad that it's growing on me in a weird way.
JoinDarkOrder.com. Sorry, what were you saying?
It's so bad that it's growing on me.
Oh, I mean, don't say that, because it's gonna be like, you think it's gonna be like heel New Day, like when they first started?
Yeah, but it's, I mean, offering Christopher, I mean, that'd be one hell of a story, offering him a mask. That was quite funny.
Honest to God, like, I just don't know if people really care about the Dark Order anymore, but if that's just become their gimmick now, that people are hating them so much that they're literally just going to force them down our throats, it's going to be pretty unbearable seeing them every week now. So, but that's all I'm going to say about the Dark Order, except join darkorder.com.
There we go.
All right. And the last honorable mention I've got is the AEW Women's Championship match between Riho and Chris Statlander. So we said last week that the Fatal 4-Way Women's Championship match was probably one of the best like women's matches we've seen in AEW so far. But do you think this one's kind of just sort of took it down a notch a bit?
I'm sorry, in AEW, I just can't get into Rio.
You just can't take her seriously?
I just can't. I'm sorry, I just can't.
No, you're not the only one, actually.
But I'm just not sold on it. And I wait the day that I'll be sold on it, but right now, I'm not.
Can I give you my God-honest opinion on this match?
Yeah.
It was a mess.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, honestly, the interference from the Nightmare Collective, you know, you had Brandy on commentary, which kind of took away the focus of things, and then you had Awesome Kong, Mel, and this Luther fella, whoever he is. It's just, yeah, so basically, I just didn't enjoy this match because there was just too much interference on the outside, and it really took away the focus from Rio and Statlander, and it's just a shame that Rio's championship reign's been sort of tarnished with this brush a bit.
I'm just not feeling it.
Okay, but let's pick up the pace a bit. We've still got your number one undeniable ranking to look forward to, and you've chosen the six-man tag between Best Friends and Orange Cassidy versus Jurassic Express.
Yes.
So the floor is yours.
Orange Cassidy is the OGOC. He is the man. I just love how whenever they were looking for a tag and chucking trades and stuff, and he was just standing there with his head down, his leg crossed, like nothing had happened. Then he gets in the ring and does his whole kick thing. People are saying that they're sick of him. I'm not yet. I'm loving this.
Yeah, Jurassic Express just isn't getting old at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a consistent stable, and you know, because Luchasaurus is continuing his winning streak. He's over with the fans.
Oh yeah, big time.
I hope he gets a major push this year at some point.
Yeah, I think it'll be needed. Who knows? Maybe we see Jurassic Express with the tag team and the World Heavyweight title.
Now that would be interesting. And Jungle Boy as well gets the first win of his AEW career as well, so it's a big moment for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they've now got a match in 2 weeks with the Inner Circle, specifically Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Jurassic Express's momentum is just going to continue going forward? And if so, do you think they're going to be the ones to earn a tag team championship title?
Well, it's got to happen, because I think AEW will realize that they're really over with the crowd. So if you're going to be different to what we've seen in the past from other companies, it's about striking when the iron's hot, and sometimes the iron's gone cold, and then they think, oh, let's plug it back in and heat it back up. You're like, nah.
Yeah. And I think this is the first time I've seen Orange Cassidy actually take part in a match. Most of the time I've just seen him on the outside, shades on, hands in his pockets. And,
as
you know,
he
just
should be, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was quite interesting to see him in that capacity, but I do want to see more of him, see more of him competing.
Yeah.
Just one last question. Because we've spoken highly of Jurassic Express and also of Private Party. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference of the two, or do you like them both?
Oh, I'd probably say all round. I'd probably say Private Party.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. I mean, Jurassic Express are great, but they work better as a three-person faction, and Private Party's a better tag team, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our undeniable rankings from AEW Dynamite. So let's move on to this week's NXT. Now, I'm having a look at our rankings, and we do differ on some aspect. So I'll kick things off with your number three undisputed ranking, and you've gone with the women's face-off to open the show.
Yes.
So this is Rhea Ripley's first appearance on NXT TV as the new women's champion. And she's basically just got a plethora of challengers coming after her now.
Listen to the crowd react to each and every one of them coming out. It was just brilliant. And just seeing them all, they all just had that badass moment. Like, each and everyone just seemed so badass in the way they came out to basically say to Rhea, I'm coming for you.
And then the amount of star power we had in that segment as well, it was just like a who's who. Of not just NXT's women's division, but also NXT UK's women's division as well. Because out comes Toni Storm first.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically set another match for Worlds Collide, where it's going to be Rhea Ripley versus Toni Storm for the NXT Women's Championship, as opposed to the UK one.
Mm-hmm.
And she also mentioned about TakeOver Blackpool happening Sunday, which you're
going. I hope that's the thing. I hope that statement doesn't provide a spoiler for the women's match this Sunday.
To be honest, I just sort of took it as hype.
Yeah.
But Tony Two Belts does have a nice ring to it, don't you think?
But we know about the past about WWE when it comes to hype.
Yeah, it gets you hyped for no reason, then just...
Or sometimes it gets you hyped because it's going to happen, and they just make it so blindingly obvious.
Like Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
But she wasn't the only one as well, like, because out comes Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, and none other than Scotland's own NXT UK Women's Champion, Kaylee Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, were you expecting to see Kaylee Ray at all?
Yeah. As Nigel McGillis, she's the skating queen of Scots. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought she'd still be like in the UK, like following, like, you know, she last time we saw her was War Games.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They're trying to make the build for Worlds Collide, because don't forget Worlds Collide is this month.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's happening in 2 weeks, I believe.
Yeah, 2 weeks, 25th, I believe.
25th of January, yeah.
Yeah, so Burns Night. So we're going to have the most gallus of all WWEs because it's Burns Night. And everyone could go home to eat their haggis, neeps, and tatties.
Yeah, it's going to be a gallus day.
And then have a piece of jam in the morning.
You mean a jam sandwich?
Piss off.
Io Shirai just comes out and says, mine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, straight to the point.
Yeah, just straight there. Bianca Belair comes up like, girl, nah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't do that again, I promise.
Please.
And we end up getting a 6-woman tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put this as my number 2 undeniable ranking. So we're kind of sort of bouncing off each other a bit here.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you make of the tag match in general?
Tag match in general was all good, solid, great spots. Just a solid match, really. And it was more the build-up that I preferred, so that's why I kind of picked the build-up for it rather than the actual match.
And there was obviously a bit of dissension amongst the ranks between Kaylee Ray, Bianca, and Io.
Yeah, she just beat Io, just saying, nah.
Yeah,
I'm gone.
So I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But not without getting a shot against Bianca as well.
Mm-hmm.
So could we see these two maybe having a face-off?
Oh yeah, big time. Big time rivalry. Maybe that could be part of the... That would be just a straight-up rivalry, because I feel both, like, although I... Like, of all those people that have never had the belt, the person I wanted to have the belt the most was Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
I do think the ship has sailed for now for her to get the belt. So that would be a straight up, you're a prick, let's fight.
But yeah, so Rhea, Candice and Tony get the win, but you could see Candice eyeing the championship as well. She clearly wants a women's championship match,
I don't feel she's had the proper opportunity yet for it.
Like, and you know, this is the big improvement we've talked about Candice LeRae before. She's not just like Mrs. Johnny Wrestling. She's now Candice LeRae, one of the top women in NXT, and she is a very strong contender for to be women's champion.
Yep.
But I think it's in next week or in 2 weeks, we've got a number one contenders battle royal, and the winner gets a title opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some rumors floating around, but I've seen some people say they want the next title match to be Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could see Rhea versus Dakota Kai.
Okay.
So, I mean, do any of these two or anyone else on the NXT women's roster spring to mind at all?
I mean, we have seen Rhea, Tony before, so the way the crowd were reacting, I do feel they would want Rhea versus Tony. That just the way they were reacting. But I think for me, I think Dakota will happen eventually, because there's no point going through all of that for like no real payoff, if you know what I mean. But it just needs, that will happen eventually.
You know what I'm thinking, actually?
What's that?
I think maybe not in the next takeover, but at some point this year, I think Dakota Kai will be the one to dethrone Rhea Ripley.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because I think it then gives the opportunity for either someone like Candice LeRae or Tegan Knox to defeat Dakota.
Okay.
So I think for the takeover, I'd like to see her maybe face Io Shirai. Because it'd be an excellent feud to see on the road to Mania. And I think Io's status with NXT has been a bit up in the air, because she's in a bit of a bidding war, as is Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
So, I a little bit of uncertainty, but I want to see as much of Io as possible. As does Strack as well, because we're both fans of her. But anyway, my number three undeniable ranking for this week, I'm going to give it to the promo between Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Like, this is hyping a match I've been wanting to see since the Finn Balor heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was quite a bit of a blurred line between fiction and reality.
Yeah.
Almost. And, you know, Johnny, he always is able to get such a good response from the crowd, and he cuts an excellent promo at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was almost like a shoot on Balor's time in NXT.
Yeah.
Because he was saying as soon as he got the call to go to Raw, he was like, right, I'm out of here, see ya.
True.
And when Gargano got that same call in August last year, he turned it down because NXT is the place to be.
Yeah.
And that right there, you know, when he said, I'm NXT for life at the end of last year, that's how you knew NXT became a main brand.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it became the main brand.
The main brand, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you make of this feud so far? Because they've definitely sort of built it over time, you know, considering that the heel turn was 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm. No, a solid build. And it could have suffered with, obviously, the injury to Gargano at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they obviously had to switch things up. But that's the beauty about NXT is that although things may not work out exactly as they wanted it to, it actually can make for better storytelling. Case in point, for example, Ciampa Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ciampa was injured for a long time because of a serious knee injury, but yet look at the story that created.
I think he had both his shoulders done as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he was out for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show that absence makes the feud grow stronger.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, not quite the phrase.
Not quite
word for word, but you get the idea.
Yeah, fair play.
The slow build is definitely making this feud a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm excited. Are you excited to see them?
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah. Okay, so you're number two, and we're moving into now something we were very hyped on last week, the Dusty Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the match you chose was Gallus versus Undisputed Era?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I have to agree with you on this one, because as soon as I saw that match, I said this last week, as soon as I saw that match on paper, I thought, yes, let's see this happen. Now, they have had some interaction with each other before, because I believe Adam Cole went against Wolfgang at the United Kingdom tournament.
Yeah, and then Albert Hall.
Yep, in the Royal Albert Hall, that's right. Mm-hmm. But we've never seen these two go together as face each other as a tag team.
Yeah.
A lot of people apparently weren't too big on this match. Like, do you think that's a fair comment?
Not really, because two things about this, that as a match, I did like it. It wasn't like a pure big like something new, but it was still a solid great match. Now for me, the reason I picked this number two was the same thing applies to Kaylee Ray. However, there's a slight difference for me. Now, the very first Scottish independent wrestling show I went to was an ICW show at 802 ABC, and it was the fourth annual Square Goal. Now, in that match, Wolfgang fought BT Gunn in a steel cage match, and the things they were doing was just incredible. It was such a great match, and in particular, I'll never forget Wolfgang doing a swanton bomb off the top of the steel cage.
Damn.
Now I'm watching Wolfgang on BT Sport, and I'm like, what even? Like, it's just incredible. So, yeah, that's why it kind of just hit me that, like, wow, that's someday I've, like, one of the first, like, the first match I saw was Joe Coffey versus Jack Gallagher. Look at where they two are now.
Yep.
And then, obviously, now Wolfgang and BT Gunn. BT Gunn did have a match at NXT UK in Glasgow himself, and now I'm seeing Wolfgang in a match on BT Sport, so there you go.
Yeah,
that's what hit me.
On BT Sport, under WWE's banner, going up against one of the best tag teams in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now that you've said it out loud, actually, it's quite surreal. knowing that these two local wrestlers from our neck of the woods are competing on the main brand, the gold standard of wrestling.
I mean, Wolfgang is no less than 9 miles away from my home. Like, that's where he's from and stuff. And like, so obviously, like, it's just incredible when you think of it that way. And there's so many that are now, and the first person I see is Kaylee Ray, so that also hit home. But it's just because, like, that Wolfgang was on the main card of the first ICW show, our first Scottish wrestling show I went to, and I obviously go to so many, so just to see him on BT Sport was just incredible.
Yeah, and obviously Gallus have got the four-way ladder match at TakeOver Blackpool.
Yeah.
So do you think they kind of held back a bit in this match at all, or do you think they just went full out?
Nah, they still, like, I don't think they do it. Like, obviously they don't do any, like, silly spots that could injure, but the thing about wrestling, like, they're still doing moves that can still injure them. Because, see, sometimes in wrestling, if I'm most of the time in wrestling, you injure yourself in some of the most foundation basic spots, as opposed to, like, obviously you'll take a sore one in the really hard spots, but you ask any wrestler, it's the freak accidents that happen in the most basic foundation moves that they would call foundation moves. That can, I mean, we've an independent wrestler UK, we've had somebody that retired as a result of going over the top rope and landing back down, and he did it in a normal way, but it was just one of them things. And that guy's competed in hardcore matches his life and stuff, so it's just one of those things.
So Undisputed Era come away from the win. The Full Sail tag champions beat the UK tag champions.
Yeah.
Do you think that was the right decision?
In hindsight, yes. But, like, maybe me, I obviously wanted Gallus to win.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing. So I was hoping that, because obviously Imperium were there, I was hoping Imperium would come out and do something. And because, like, obviously I don't want Undisputed just to lose. Like, I'd do it in a way that kind of protects them. But at the same time, losing to Gallus is not exactly like a shameful thing, is it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, both big bruising lads.
Two local heroes for Glasgow.
Yeah, okay, don't do it like that again.
Right. Now, speaking of Imperium, we'll go quickly into our honourable mentions. The other side of the Dusty Cup that we had this week, we had Imperium going against the Forgotten Sons. Now, I was actually quite excited for this one because, you know, Forgotten Sons were finalists from last year, and, you know, Imperium have really just sort of come into their own a bit because they were also in last year's tournament, but they went out in the first round. Like, this was a really good back and forth match between essentially two heel teams. Do you have any comments on it at all?
So far, I mean, like, the thing is, this is the, in terms of the Dusty Cup, this is probably the most abstract one in terms of where people have come from and stuff like that. But I suppose for us as UK fans, it's great because you are getting a lot more of the UK teams in there. But at the same time, it does give me the kind of fear of, is that, are they just going to use them and then kind of not, like, bury their career, if you know what I mean, but just, like, get there to just be buried to enhance the Full Sail NXT wrestlers? That's what I fear with it.
Yeah, I think you've pretty much summed it up there, because the Forgotten Sons have kind of gone into a bit of a slump as a result. But at the same time, you know, Imperium's really found its groove in the UK side of things. So I think
they're the only team that I feel have the full backing of Full Sail and the bookers there, if you know what I mean.
Because
I don't know how, but the Full Sail crowd and a lot, like, as we found out in Chicago with the Survivor Series, they're really behind Walter and Imperium.
Absolutely,
really behind them.
And I think they've clearly picked up on that. So yeah. We have, not to jinx anything, but Undisputed Era and Imperium are now in the semi-finals of the Dusty Cup. Mm-hmm. And yeah. We've still got Worlds Collide in 2 weeks where they'll be going against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did do some predictions last week about my fantasy booking of this, but we'll need to address the other side of the Dusty Cup before that potentially becomes a reality. Because next week, we're doing the two final opening round contests. We've got the Grizzled Young Veterans going against Kushida and none other than his former tag team partner in the Time Splitters, Alex Shelley, who will be making his NXT debut this week. Are you excited to see the Time Splitters?
Yeah, well, I've not seen them before, but I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
So it'll be quite interesting to see. I'm going to take the approach of fresh eyes on this because I want to see what they do in this. Then after that, I may go back and watch something that, like some wrestling matches that they've had, because it's all well and good seeing something before you see the NXT or whatever. But sometimes it's quite good to have the kind of fresh eyes, fresh perspective on something. And also because take my big take, for example, now the, I know I'm going back, but the whole WWE invasion angle, I personally loved that angle. However, there are people that hated it because they weren't seeing the big stars of WCW. However, I never watched that WCW, so I got to at least enjoy, because it was quite a big era in WWE, and I got to enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm just looking at some facts here. I think there are clips of them competing at Wrestle Kingdom 8, and they're former two-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. So they've got accomplishments under their belt, so yeah. I'm excited to see them.
It's interesting because it's Shelley's first appearance for WWE as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. So this could be
straight in there. Yeah,
this is a big week for NXT. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to see a team that was so well accomplished in New Japan. And on the other side, we've got Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster going against the Broserweights, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne.
I wish I put that on my top, because that was just so funny.
Well, just the promo, yeah.
Yeah, just the promo. He's like, I went up to him. He's like, yo, it's so funny.
Hey, bro.
So, so the Broserweights, oh, perfect.
Like, that's
it.
An outstanding tag team name.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The Broserweights are still my favorites to win the tournament. Because if Undisputed Era and Imperium are already facing at Worlds Collide, they need to escape from the Dusty Cup, but maybe in screwy finishes for both of them.
True so, that.
But yeah, out of, just to sort of turn our attention back to Grizzled Young Vets and the Time Splitters, like, that's actually made things quite interesting now, because can the Time Splitters really afford to take a loss at this stage?
Not really, given the hype, but at the same time, if they don't get through the first round in this, then who knows what could happen outside of it, as long as it's done right. But I would say of all the teams, they don't need it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because on the other side of that coin, do you think it would be like amazing heel heat for a team that's already got amazing heel heat in the Grizzled Young Veterans?
It would be great if it was Grizzled Young Veterans, because that would be just hilarious and brilliant. But at the same time, the tag team champions are a heel team, so
But you know what, my prediction still stands from last week. I think the final is going to be Grizzled Young Vets versus the Broserweights, and Broserweights will win the whole thing.
Well, they do have that rivalry there, and especially because Matt Riddle did have Time of Progress and has come across Drake and Gibson, so there we go.
And so much for your prediction of Isaiah Swerve Scott being Kushida's partner as well.
Well, who did you say?
Well, I actually said Raul Mendoza.
Well, so you're one to call me out.
Yeah. Let's just say
don't call me out when you were no better.
Okay, right. Okay, it fell flat there. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, thought so.
All right, just a couple more things before we address our number one undisputed ranking, which we both picked the same thing, by the way. Some honorable mentions. We have Austin Theory versus Joaquin Wilde.
It was solid.
Good filler, but it definitely brings Theory up in as a sort of rising star.
Mm-hmm.
I do worry if he's going to follow into a similar role, such as like Bronson Reed or Shane Thorne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he used
to prop up new people that you want to push.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, he's still young. He's got youth and vigor on his side, but I think he needs a really strong characteristic to make him stand out in NXT. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he can go in the ring, no doubt about it. I think he just needs that. He just needs time to build.
Mm-hmm.
Time for him to grow on us a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the other match, we had another women's match. We had a bit of an exhibition match between Mia Yim and Caden Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another match that was kind of just there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm surprised they've not capitalized on a potential rematch between Mia Yim and Dakota Kai, though.
Well, that's the thing, because obviously it was Mia Yim that got attacked first out of all of them.
Exactly, yeah.
By Dakota. And so they... so far with me, the Dakota Kai, they've not capitalized on the momentum properly.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope they change that up, because the way she did that at War Games was just incredible. I just feel it's losing a bit of momentum, but the candle's not out yet.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think maybe once they find, because they're both in the number one contenders Battle Royal, maybe they could reignite it there.
Well, it shouldn't need that. It needs the proper, like, see if they just have them fighting constantly in the back. Like, just constantly tearing up and just, yeah.
What if it's like MVP and The Miz in the 2010 Royal Rumble? Like, they just go after each other, they both eliminate themselves, and then they just keep going.
Well, I suppose that can work, yeah.
But the biggest outcome from this segment was, surprisingly, someone who made their Raw debut recently, Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
And is now being managed by Robert Stone.
That whole thing is weird, because, like, she comes into Raw, she has that match, and then she's back on NXT, fair enough.
Like, what's up with that?
Wow, okay.
Sorry, I won't do an impression of the Hurricane again.
Yeah, please. If you want me back on, keep that well away.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. Oh, God, I've lost my train of thought now.
Yeah, so yeah, Chelsea Green was on Raw, now she's back on NXT. Like, what's going on?
Thank you. I have no idea, but this new manager guy, I keep forgetting the guy's name.
Robert Stone.
That guy. Let's see where this leads to.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Robert Stone before?
Nope, sorry.
I've never heard of Robert Stone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's like this new hotshot manager. Let's see what his promo skills, because to me, a great manager should have great promo skills. So, let's see what happens.
And how often do you see a female talent with a male manager, because usually it's the other way around.
True, but like we're accustomed to ICW, where we have like the wee man who's been managing Casey recently, but not so much now. But very true. It's usually the other way around. But hey, let's see what happens.
Yep. So now we come to both of our number one undisputed ranking for this week, and it is the fatal four-way match to determine the number one contender for the NXT North American Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this was between Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, Damian Priest, and everyone's favorite hat wearer, Cameron Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you think of this match in general?
Great match, and the spot with Keith Lee when he catches, I forgot who he caught, because I was just like, whoa.
He did that spot twice, though, but with two different people.
Yeah, because he caught Damian Priest and then was just using him as like a baseball bat and swinging him.
Yeah, like, and I like the interaction he was having with Dijakovic as well, because obviously these two have a ton of history between them.
Yeah.
But they were almost sort of trying to outdo each other a bit in a friendly sort of competition kind of manner. I think this added a really good sort of dynamic to this match. But Cameron Grimes, though, I mean, did you expect him to see him in this kind of match so soon?
No, but fair play to the lad. I mean, he put his own, he put out his own, and he really showcased why. And if you get what I mean, so that's why I picked this as my number one as well, because like all four of them weren't out of place. They were all doing great spots, all doing great things, adding to one another. Mm-hmm. It was obvious that Keith Lee was going to win, although annoyingly, like, I don't know how you watched NXT this week, but annoyingly, the last 5 minutes was cut off on BT Sport. They had an error.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, so... quite a few UK fans took to Twitter, including myself.
No, I didn't realize that, because I watched it on the network.
Yeah, like I had to go back and watch that ending on the network, but yeah, it fully legit cut off in the last 5 minutes.
That sucks.
Yeah, like right at the prime moments, it cut off.
Like,
and then it went to like a black screen of we're having technical difficulties. And then 5 minutes later, it just cut to some football.
Oh, and there was me and Gary praising the move to BT Sport as big step forward. Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it can happen anywhere, that's a thing. It's a great step, but yeah, it's just, it can happen. It happens as technology. It's our best friend when it works. It's our enemy when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But just the timing of it was just a bit... Nah, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Now, Keith Lee as well continues to be a moment maker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the human GIF, essentially.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was that spot with Dijakovic and Damian Priest trying to choke slam each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then Keith just sort of does his sort of angry face.
Rising from
Yep, pop out of nowhere.
The best one was the Christmas one, with him and his Christmas hat was the best one.
Yeah. I do wonder if they're starting to overdo it a bit, though.
Yes and no, but it's still funny. I mean, the thing is, though, see, if you start over-analyzing these things and saying, oh, it's too much, it's this, it's that, you're going to run out of things to like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you think, oh, there it is again, and, you know, I'd rather see something new. But,
yeah,
I suppose you're right. But I suppose that it's moments like that that make Keith, like, a very likeable superstar.
Yeah, because he will stand up. He, like, although it's an evil thing to do, he's doing it against evil people for ruining fun. For example, like that Christmas, he did it for... Somebody ruined fun, so he was being our hero.
Yeah, he's a hero we all need. Mm-hmm. And he did that pounce to Dijakovic as well, and it literally sent him flying over the top.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, because it was such a good spot.
Yeah.
And I think any interaction as well, where I think they got close to the hat on the on the ring post, it was everybody just like, wear the hat or steal the hat or whatever. Like, literally, that's just all Cameron Grimes's character is just the hat.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith Lee gets the win after a belter of a spirit bomb on Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
And now he faces Roderick Strong in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me and Gary talked about this on 4-Way Fatal this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe, well, at least I believe, that this is where Roddy is going to drop the belt to Keith.
Okay, I don't think so, because I think something's going to happen with Undisputed Era, because I don't think that time has come yet.
Well, the reason I say that is because I think going into Worlds Collide, Imperium and Undisputed Era need to be as well balanced as possible. Because at the moment, Undisputed Era holds all of NXT's gold that they can.
Mm-hmm.
But Imperium only has Walter as UK champion.
Yeah, but then Undisputed can't go into that kind of match with just Roddy on the side with nothing.
Well, if Imperium win the tag titles at Blackpool, then Wolf will be the only one going in without a championship.
True, but still. But that's because NXT UK doesn't have another title like the North America, so you can't really fault them for that.
But do you not think that maybe, you know, because Keith Lee got such a huge momentum boost following War Games and Survivor Series, do you think, and you even said the argument yourself, they need to strike while the iron's hot. And I think not giving Keith Lee his big moment in winning his first championship, I think that's going to be a missed opportunity.
Not really, because to me, I personally don't even think that a guy that's that hot should be fighting for North America. I think he should be going straight for the gold.
Yeah, I can see that point of view as well, but maybe they just want to be a bit more cautious with him in this case.
No, because then it would just say that you can't, like, it can start the precedent of you can't be NXT champion until you're North American champion.
Well, I was going to say that about, like, maybe Ciampa as well, but I don't know. Well, I suppose he had been tag team champion under his wife.
He'd been tag team champion, but you see, like, Adam Cole has always been hot. Mm-hmm. Always been hot.
Yeah, but I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
But yeah, it was he was the first ever North American champion, but he had to go through that before he got the main belt. I mean, not the main belt, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But why can't Keith Lee just do the same then?
Well, but that's what I was saying, because it may start to look like, oh, you can only win the main belt if you've at least fought for the North American, where I don't think that should be the case.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could probably go on for days about, you know, what we think it could be, but I think we'll leave the conversation there and we can pick up on it when the time comes.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, I just want to thank you, Kwaku, for coming on this week, and that has been our Wednesday Night Wars show. So, this is part of our Suplex Retweet Extra channel, so you can catch so many more bonus content shows, such as Raw Report, Taking Smack, Four Way Fatal, and a bunch of others, including Kwaku and Sarah's new show, Alba Goo Graps.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, Alba Goo Graps. Yes. Yep. All about Scottish wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to catch our main weekly show, you can follow us on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, all good podcasting sites. Just search for Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. And you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Suplex Retweet. And also check out our website, suplexretweet.com, for interviews, articles, and a whole bunch of other stuff, including our championship history.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we've got our community page as well. So if you want to join in with the discussion, should Keith Lee defeat Roderick Strong for the North American Championship, you can find our community page on Facebook and you can join the discussion there. So all that remains for me to say is thank you, Kwaku, for joining me.
No problem.
And we will see you next week on Wednesday Night Wars. See ya. Mm-hmm.